evening, everyone. Of course, we're continuing on with our health and hearing seminars that we're doing. These are messages designed just to those that are hurting, those that are trying to help those that are hurting, just deal with different struggles they might be having. And so, what we're going to be looking at the next 3 weeks is dealing with stress. So it's the idea of stress relief, avoiding burnout, and finding balance. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on. And so for tonight, we're going to begin with the causes, signs, and effects of stress overload. We want to kind of get an understanding of stress, how it affects the body, and when it is starting to hurt the body and the mind and soul and everything else. So we first want to get kind of an understanding of stress. So first of all, we want to understand that stress is a part of life, that you always will have stress in life. No matter what, there's going to be things that happen that will be stressful. And we can't just kind of hide in a cocoon and just kind of shut out the world. And really, and we would desire in some ways to be stress-free, but a entirely stress-free life would be not only impossible, it would actually be unenjoyable as well. Life would be really dull and boring. Nothing ever happened that was out of the ordinary. And I think we want to realize that, because sometimes we have this idea of kind of wanting to stay in our comfort zone. And we've talked about that as a church, that we actually need to learn to get out of our comfort zone. And that's where we can find a lot of more amazing things. That's how we can grow and develop character in many ways. And so we can't have a life without stress, nor would we want one. But it's something that when we face stress, and this is kind of a neat thing just to understand, and in one verse of the Bible it speaks about us being fearfully and wonderfully made, that God has designed us to deal with stress. And so what happens is when we face stress, our bodies activate a natural stress response, which helps us to deal with the stressful situation. And it's also referred to as the fight or flight response, where you're in a place of danger and your body basically kind of boosts itself in order to help you through that danger. And like one example of that, I remember when I cut my finger off, where it was basically, it was like, they had to get to the hospital, had to gather the kids up because we wasn't home, and so got to the hospital and like had that boost of adrenaline to be able to do that. And that was a necessary thing, that was a needed thing. And so what happens is, as soon as stress comes, your nervous system initiates a release of cortisol and adrenaline. And this provides a boost of energy to your body. And so, as that happens, and you can feel it when you're in a place of stress, that your heart beats faster, your blood pressure starts to rise, your breath quickens, and your senses actually become sharper, that you can see things better. And so as this occurs, we gain increased strength, energy, and awareness, as well as greater focus. And so you're actually able to, your decision-making ability is a lot clearer in those situations. And so that's what the body does naturally. And we want to understand not all bad, not all stress is bad. And there's actually two kinds of stress. There's use stress that they call, which is a good stress, and then there's bad stress, which they call distress. And so some of it is actually good. And in sports or anything like that, when you're under stress, it actually, having this response helps you to focus, helps you to strive, to achieve, to overcome obstacles. And in actuality, there's some people that actually thrive on stress, that they like to be in a high-stress situation. That would be someone that's very driven. And it's kind of the thing, like, some people would avoid it, someone that's driven would seek after, and that could be part of the problem. Sometimes if they don't realize that they're stressing their bodies too much. And so we all understand, the more our stress response systems are activated, the easier they are to trigger, and the harder they are to shut off. It's basically, it's sort of like you're overstimulating it. You bring it up all the time. It's sort of almost like crying. Your body's crying wolf. It's so used to it that it automatically engages when it doesn't really need to. And it's kind of that idea of, we've talked about, of like pathways or synapses developing in your brain that sort of naturally goes down this road without you even realizing it. But the problems start to arise when we face chronic stress and our stress response system is overactivated. So you have like acute stress where you go through something stressful and you make it through, and that's what it's designed for, us to get you through that dangerous situation so that you survive and you're okay on the other side of it. But what happens with us is a lot of times we stay in a stressful situation and we continue in that, and what happens is just the body isn't designed to maintain that boost of adrenaline, cortisol, indefinitely. And so when our stress response system is overactivated, it starts to kind of run out of gas, and our system is not able to react the same way. And so when we reach this point of having our stress response system overactivated, that's what we would call burnout. And when that happens, damage can occur, physiological damage, even kind of mental health issues, different things like that can be affected. And so it comes a time where really you have to kind of be away from things and just to have time to heal. That normally the way it is you get through that acute stress situation and you survive, you got through it, and then you have a place where you can kind of rest, regain things, rebuild your strength. But if you, hi Dan, and if you, but if you don't do that, if you delay having that time of rest, then it might get to a point where you are burnt out, and then the recuperation time is much, much longer. And so we have to be very careful with that and understand our limitations in that way. And so, as we consider this, we recognize that there are different sources of stress, different things that bring stress into our life. And I think all of us can recognize maybe specific situations. When we get in that situation, it's very stressful. And it can be different for different people. That someone that's introverted, just being in public with other people is very stressful. Whereas someone that's more of an extrovert, it's like being alone is stressful. And you want to be with people. That's where you're comfortable. And so we kind of have to recognize that with ourselves, that we do have these things, and they may affect us differently. So a big source of stress is when there's a major life change. And you know, we like to have things kind of even keel, where it's, we never have to have change, where we keep the same, always comfortable. But that's not reality. There's always changes in our life. If we're moving somewhere, that's a big change, because we have to think, okay, where am I going to live? How am I going to make new friends? It can be stressful for adults. It can be very stressful for children. And so it can be something. Person getting married, because it's a life change, that can be stressful in some ways, even though there is some excitement about that. But then, of course, if there's divorce, that whole situation that happens with that is always very stressful. And then there could be, say if you lose your job, and you worry about, okay, how are we making this new, what am I going to do with my life? Especially as a man, sometimes you define yourself by your career. And so you have to be careful with that. So any other thoughts in terms of like major life changes? Well, we'll get to the signs of death. But yeah, there's, for kids, there's different things as well that we can recognize. But in terms of like major life changes, like, anybody have any other thoughts in terms of things that you would say are very stressful? Yes, that would be one aspect. Yeah, for someone that's been such a part of your life is gone, that would be very stressful. Any other thoughts? Yeah, that would be that. Yeah, and so major life changes is definitely one. And then there's what we call daily hazards. These are also referred to as micro stressors. And they don't tend to be big things, but in combination with other things, they can really kind of eat away at us. And so, big one that I've always had trouble with is ready to go to work, can't find the key. And so then you're rushing around the house, it's like, I'm going to be late, where are the keys? And so you find them, but then you're just like, oh, that's not how I want to start the day. But that happens. Or if you're trying to get to work and there's traffic or there's some kind of delay behind someone that's driving really slow and roads aren't good. Sometimes it can be you're dealing with people that are really irritating. Just not cooperative. Say if you have to call into some kind of government agency to get some help with something, and you spend like 5 or 10 minutes just on hold, and the person you get the first time doesn't know how to help you, so then you're on hold for another 5 or 10 minutes, that can be very stressful. So any other thoughts of kind of these micro stressors or little things that can really kind of get a person going stress-wise? One toddler, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. They have their favorite shoes or outfit that they want to wear, and they can't find it, and they won't be happy unless they find it. Yes, that's a great question. It can be a micro stressor by a micro person. Very much so, yeah. So yeah, there's different things like that, and again, they're not big things, but especially when there's other stuff, they can sometimes be kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. And so recognize those, and then work in school. Work for adults, school for children, because there's always different tests, or there's different assignments that a person may be working on at work. There's always deadlines to deal with. There's always different people, whether it's a boss that you have to please, or a teacher you have to please. There can be, in school, there can be bullying and trying to fit in with the crowd. In the workplace, there's dealing with people that may or may not be cooperative or team players. And so there's a lot of times in there where a lot of times that's a person almost associates work with stress and or school with stress. That there's the great relief for kids when it gets to be some holidays, they don't have to do school, they don't have to, they get that break. And I think for the teachers too, that's a big thing, that they have that break to get rid of, away from the stress of dealing with all that as well. Then there can be financial issues. If money is tight, if there's unexpected expenses that come up, say a vehicle starts giving a person trouble, we don't have as much issues in this country with, say, doctor's bills in the U.S., but there are some different things that do come up, and it can often be little things here and there by themselves wouldn't be that much, but as they start to add up and you see the bills that are coming and what's in the account, it can be very stressful. And then trying to pay for that, trying to get a job that will kind of help us maintain kind of the standard of living that we're used to. And then especially we think in kinders are here with the downturn in the oil. People are not, don't have the abundance of work that they once did. And so we recognize there's a lot of people over the last couple of years that have been dealing with a lot of financial stress. Then there can be difficulties in relationships. This could be, say, with a neighbor that is just difficult to get along with. It can be in a family where it's say a child or a parent. It can be sometimes, say, if you're caring for someone that's elderly that is not having a good time adapting to being in a nursing home, but it can be very stressful having to put up with different things that they might be doing. There's a lot of different things that come with that, and then of course just stresses of marriage. There's many things that can happen, and sometimes you can have people in your life that just being around them just tends to want to drain you. That just when you know that you're going to have to interact with them, it all your kind of stress response already starts before you even meet the person. So any other sources of stress we can think of? Health issues, yes. Yeah, that you can, when your health isn't good, that can mess up a lot of things. Yeah. Yeah, what can be stressful, and you think of this time of year too, where it's winter time, the roads may or may not be very good, that's like an added part of stress too. So that can easily multiply on the stress that brings. Yes. Yeah, well, and it can be sometimes dealing with family as they go through the grief process as well. They're not always at their best. Sometimes Like, and so I think we can see with these that it's very easy that these kind of interlock, that they, different things all happen at once, and that's how stress usually is. If we just have stresses like one at a time, and it's like, okay, I've got this stress, just this one to deal with, and then I get like a day's break before I get another thing to stress, then we probably have no problem with stress at all. But it usually doesn't happen that way. A lot of times, it comes, and it's almost like it's in waves, and we just don't know how to respond to that. Oh yeah, plumbing issues, yeah. Yeah, no, we've had a few of those yet where it's just like you get through a rough day and you're just ready to relax, you get home and it's like, oh, the sink is leaking, your toilet's not working, your pump out is plugged, there's lots of that. But we ought to understand, not only are there external sources of stress, there's also internal sources of stress. That we can have things happen around us, but a lot of times, kind of our mindset, looking at things, that can kind of cause stress where stress doesn't necessarily need to be. And so, that we need to be aware of as well. One source of stress can be unrealistic expectations. Say, for instance, you have some kind of event that you're planning, and you want it to go perfectly. And does any event go perfectly? No. It was like with Remembrance Day, it was like we started things out, and went to sing O Canada, and the band was about to start. I saw the conductor going, and so I started to sing, and he was doing the introduction leading into it, and so I was like, and it was very embarrassing, but it's kind of been okay. Like, it was good that happened first, because it's kind of okay, yeah, I messed up, let's just keep going. But if you have this idea, well, everything has to be perfect, then it's not going to be, then you're going to get tortured. And so we can have that, and sometimes it's unrealistic expectations in terms of a relationship. Sometimes it's in terms of a job. We think that this is just going to be perfect, and it's not. And so then we get stressed out, and we would say, well, wait a minute, we should have more realistic expectations. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and that's someone who set expectations in the relationships, because we can have what we expect someone to do, and they may not be capable of that, fulfilling that expectation, and it causes a lot of trouble. But when we can have kind of a negative attitude where we're already thinking anything that can go wrong will go wrong, and so when it does, it's going to just all the pieces, everything's going to just not work at all, and you're going down a road that you shouldn't be going down, and just causing stress that's unnecessary. Sometimes we have a desire for control, and this would be, you could think of someone that's maybe kind of a bit OCD, that things, you want them to be a certain way, you want to be able to have a handle on everything that happens, and the thing is you can't control everything. We're humans, we can't control each other, sometimes we can't even control ourselves, but yet when we have that desire, that can cause a lot of stress. Sometimes a fear, anxiety, or worried about different things that could happen, worried about people that we know that might be struggling, worried about what might be coming down. Like you could have it where you hear of tax changes and you're stressed out. Well, how much more tax are you going to have to pay at the end of the year? And it's like, well, wait until the end of the year to stress about that. You don't have to worry about it right now, but we can get ourselves worked up. Any other thoughts of kind of internal sources of stress? Yeah, that can be, yeah, where you think, well, what other people think, how will I be accepted? And kind of, you can have a, especially in terms of if you have to do any kind of confrontation, that can be a real source of stress. And a lot of it's because you think, well, what's going to happen? You sometimes get like the worst case scenario in your mind. Rarely is it as bad as the worst case scenario. But yes, that would definitely be one where you're thinking of what others think of you. So these are all things that we look at, and they can occur each individually, but many times they overlap each other. And sometimes it's it's something external that's bringing the stress, but our internal overreaction to it is making it worse. And I think that's what we want to understand, is that a lot of times when our body is triggering the stress response, sometimes it's an overreaction to the stimulus, and that sometimes like something happens and we get upset, but then if we're able to kind of calm down and say, oh wait a minute, this isn't that bad, this is okay, then it kind of brings you back down. But we sometimes build it up way more than it is and make it so much worse. Well, now that kind of plays into the kind of a negative attitude, but because of this thing that happened in the past, well, it's just something that's going to happen again. And that can prevent you from kind of having a right attitude through things. So, the good thing is, though, is that when we get to a point of stress over, our bodies actually start to give us warning signs. And again, it's that thought of just how God is so fearful and how He made us. That when we reach this point, these things happen, and for each of us it may be a bit different. But what we need to learn to do is recognize the signs. When our body is telling us something, that we need to listen to. It's kind of the idea is like we're so used to the idea if we have any kind of pain that we try to take something to get rid of that pain. We try to like kind of numb it or block it out, and that's a fine for headaches. But it's kind of the thing is that pain a lot of times is an indicator that something's wrong, something's out of balance. And if we just kind of keep going and we don't deal with it, it can get a lot more serious. It's just kind of the same idea as if you're driving along, your engine starts to make a noise, and you crank up the radio so you can hear it. That's not going to fix the problem, it's going to make it worse. And so we need to learn to do that, to be kind of tuned in to our bodies, so that when things start not working as they should, we say, wait a minute, at the point where I need to get some time away, I need to find some way of like relieving the stress that's in my life. So there are some physical signs of stress overload. And sometimes if you get a lot of headaches, that's a sign that you might be under stress. That just and it's kind of the thing is you have things that can be physically stressful, but there's much more things that are kind of mentally and emotionally stressful. And they actually can be more taxing than the physical stressors. And so if you get a lot of headaches, then that can be a sign, okay, something's not right. And again, our tendency is like, well, just take a Tylenol. Oh, this isn't working. Let me take a stronger medication. But we should sometimes say, wait a minute, why am I getting these things? And is it because of stress? Sometimes we find difficulty breathing, and we have kind of shortness of breath. And with that as well could be heart palpitations. And I remember one time actually going into the hospital feeling like, okay, what's the point? Oh, it feels like you're having some kind of heart attack. And checked me out, and it was fine. But it was kind of at the time where it was kind of a stressful situation that I've been through, and so that was a result of that. And so we want to be aware with that, and those are things that almost we think, well, that could be a heart attack. And in some ways, if you're continually under stress, you can be a heart attack. So you want to be wary of that. Digestive or bowel issues, that you can have heartburn, indigestion, you could have constipation or diarrhea. These are things that, because your body is just under stress. Like, and you think of it, just when it's focused on pumping you with cortisol and adrenaline, if that's the body's focus, the focus on the other things is kind of taken away. So things start to not function as they should. And you're not digesting things well because of your kind of tension within you. And you could have sleeping problems too. It could be that you're just totally exhausted, that you're having trouble getting out of bed in the mornings. Or it could be that you just can't sleep. That you're just, your mind is still going and your body is just wore out, but you just can't sleep. And your body's getting even more wore out as a result. And it gets to be quite a bad cycle. But then there can also even be skin conditions. Like if you have eczema, it can kind of flare up a bit, that you can develop kind of rashes and itching. One thing for me that's a sign is that when I'm under stress, that I start to get pimples on the back of my neck. And when that happens, it's like, okay, yeah, I need to settle down. Try to find some relief from stress because I'm getting to be at my enough point. And so we can have some of these, and each of us can have different responses, but these are things that happen. Any other signs that anyone can think of? Stress overload? Yeah, that can happen. Yeah, where you're very emotional. Yeah, well, that can come. So these are kind of physical. There's also kind of mental and emotional signs. And I think crying could kind of fit into that as well. You can have a lot of anxiety, where you're very fearful, and just can't seem to settle down. Sometimes you can get to be very depressed, where it just, and part of it is because you're tired out. Fear of loss of use, and it's like you're trying to climb a mountain, and you just keep seeing you're falling down, and you can never kind of get over the peak of that mountain. It's just, you're trying and trying, but you just want to almost give up. Irritability, where you just, because you're at such a stress level that people can kind of do something that is kind of really a micro stressor. It's not that big a deal. It shouldn't upset you, but because you have such a load of other things on your shoulders that you just snap at that person, or you, like you give to them, like it's that person becomes an outlet for your rage, for all the other things that you did. It's not healthy, and it's not right. That it's like, but that's what often happens. That sometimes, like, you can't yell at your boss because then you'd be fired, and so you go home and you yell at your kids, kind of thing, when they've done something that's not that big. That's not right, but we recognize it does happen, and it can be a sign that stress is too much. Sometimes there can be just kind of a mental fatigue where you're exhausted because you can't seem to think through things properly. And you're trying to do stuff and you're making mental mistakes. You're doing things that normally you would never do. Wouldn't normally do if you were tired, kind of thing. And things like that can happen. And that's kind of getting into the cost of stress in society. There's a lot of accidents that are caused when you're tired and overstressed. And so there can be lack of concentration. You can't focus. And that's kind of the thing, is that with the stress response, when it's working properly, it helps you to focus. It helps you. But when you're overloaded with stress, then you find you can't concentrate. And so that's a sign that something's not right. And it can be a lack of motivation. Right? You don't feel like you can get out of bed in the morning. You just don't know how, like, why even try, because it just doesn't seem like it's anything's going to work. You kind of lose your drive. And again, that's a sign that things are weird, because when it's working properly, your stress response actually gives you some drive. It directs you a certain way. And when you lose that, that's a sign, okay, I burnt out my kind of adrenaline and cortisol boosters. And I'm just, my body's kind of done. So any other thoughts in terms of mentally, emotionally? We mentioned crying definitely fits in with that. I think that when we're, I'm usually emotional, that can be a sign that something's going on. Things affect us more than we would. Yeah, anger very much. Yeah. Frustrated with people or with things that happen. So it's kind of, the first was like our body functions. Second was kind of how we think or feel. This is behavioral, how we act. And this is something that maybe others can help identify for us. Or if we have someone that's a friend, that we can see these things and recognize, okay, maybe this person is struggling with stress. We can use some encouragement or help. Reduced performance. That you used to have a certain level of what you're able to do at work, but then suddenly you find that it tails off. You just can't get done what you used to be able to get done. You've lost something. Interpersonal problems, where you end up, you're getting upset with people, you have a really short fuse, or like it could just be that you don't even want to deal with people anymore. And that sometimes I hear from people that are in the service industry that it just sort of, they get to a point at the end of some days where it's just like, I'm done, I don't even want to talk anymore. And so you can have interpersonal problems. Withdrawal, that where you want to get away from everyone, away from everything. You just kind of want to find a place to hide almost. That's never a healthy thing. Because a lot of times when you're struggling, that's when you need to actually reach out for some help. Or we just tend to, it can be just a natural response. So we looked at last week. Substance use and abuse, that where we do different things and we think, well, this will just kind of help me through it. Sometimes it can be when we're tired, it's like, okay, well, let's have some coffee, that'll keep me going, and that's not enough as well. Just take some kind of energy drink, and that'll give me a boost so I can kind of have the energy to make it through the day. And when you see its use increase, you know something's going on. Say if someone's smoking, if suddenly their smoking goes up a whole bunch more, then that's a sign, okay, you've got it. Because you're using it to help you deal with it. And it's not the right way. And it can be the same with alcohol and other things too, that when you start using it more, especially to the point of abusing it, then that's a sign that something's wrong. You can have changes in eating and sleeping habits. That sometimes you're under stress, that you end up binge eating, just that's your way of relieving that. Other times, it's because you're under stress, you don't really have time to eat. You're focused on what's going on. And then either where you're sleeping all the time, you can't seem to get out of bed, or you can't sleep. That those can be different changes that are demonstrate problems. Any other thoughts? Yeah, that can be, where you're trying to find an escape, where you're away from everything. Yes, that can be very much. Yeah. Yeah, sickness. Yep. Yeah, that can be true. Let's see. I think sometimes even like where a person kind of forgets about hygiene, sometimes that can be a sign of being under stress, because it's just like you deal with so much else, it's like you figure out that time and yourself growing as well as you know, it's just what I'm trying to get through here. Yeah. Like it's just those things happen, and when those things happen for us, they should be a sign. And when we see someone else with these things, it sometimes should be a kind of a light goes on. So, okay, maybe this person is struggling. And that can be difficult. Because if someone's being, like, irritable and miserable to deal with, we don't necessarily, like, that frustrates us and causes stress for us, and we get mad at that person. But then we want to realize, okay, what are they going through? Especially if this is not a normal response for this person. I can understand, okay, this person under stress, it doesn't excuse what they've done. If they're not acting right, that there needs to be kind of accounting with that. But I think it is something that we need to have a bit more understanding and compassion when we see some of these signs. Because it could be where the person's just look at the end of their book and maybe be at the point of thinking of like suicide just to kind of get relief from it rather than have to continue in the stress that they're under. And so we want to understand, because our tendency, of course, is sometimes under stress, is we want to just kind of think, well, I'll just keep going just a little bit longer and it'll be over and everything will be fine. Or we have the old tendency just to deny the cause. Like, well, I'm tough, I can handle this. I'm no wimp, but this other people have handled more than this kind of thing. And we get in that situation and we can ignore the signs of stress overload. But if we do, there can be very serious consequences. But it isn't something that we can play around with, because it can damage us. And we have to realize that. And so, some of the long-term consequences, and you mentioned that, a compromised immune system. Because really, you think of it, when your body's at this heightened sense where it's giving you this boost of energy in order to get you through what should just be the short time of danger, and ends up being this long chronic case of stress, that your body starts to get run down. And your immune system is weakened. So you become much more susceptible to any kind of respiratory tract infection, like colds and things. Sinus conditions, and if you're doing this, you're going to end up compromising your health in a lot of different ways, and you're going to end up being sick a lot more than you normally would be. Hypertension and just different things where you have high blood pressure and other things where it hurts, being overtaxed. Because that's the thing. Anytime you stretch, your heart beats faster. And it can do that, but it can't keep doing it. And you have to be aware of that. It's kind of like, just like your engine can run into heart rhythms for a shortcut. And that gets you over something. But if you're always up at the higher rhythms, that's going to damage your engine at a certain point. For children, it's actually that if children are under continued stress, then it can actually impair their development. And that's in terms of physically, kind of pituitary gland is affected. And sometimes it can affect a child mentally, unfortunately, too. But there's some things, of course, that is difficult enough for us as adults to handle. Child has to deal with it when they're not ready. It can cause a lot of harm. Accelerated aging, where there's basically, it's sort of, you think of it this way, that if you're, that stress response is always activated, it's like you're basically operating at kind of double speed. And so it only makes sense that you're wearing your body out faster. And so if you're under stress, then you find, like, and that's why they say it's like, especially say if a child is difficult, you say, well, look at all the gray hairs that you're giving them. But that is, that actually has a bit of kind of truth to it, because when you are under stress, it does cause you to age faster. And so you have to be aware of that. Well, and like I heard, I remember that during the French Revolution the king and his wife Marie Antoinette were trying to flee the country, but then they were found and brought back to the capital, and they said that through that day and that whole ordeal, Marie Antoinette's hair turned white in that day because it was just so stressful. so I've never really checked that out, but it applies to that kind of the same thought, that yes, it can affect a person in that way. And so you could have memory loss. And that's what it is actually affected. That as you get into stress, your brain starts to have difficulty remembering things that it did. And then as well insomnia, where like an insomnia is always something that is a very bad thing to get into, because your body needs to sleep to recuperate. And if you can't sleep, then your body is just going to get more down and worse. And so we want to be wary of that. But there's a lot of different things that it can start to affect a person. And these are really just physical things in terms of an effect, right? Because you can have too that, say, if you have reduced performance at work and then you're irritable with it, it could come to a point, especially if there's a bit of a downturn, that says, okay, really, I'm not supposed to talk. And then you don't have a job, and that even increases your stress even more, because now you have financial stress. And so that can affect things. As well, you can think relationship-wise. If you're either withdrawing because you're stressed out, or you're overreacting and being very irritable, that you can ostracize people and end up being very much alone because you haven't dealt with the stress properly. And so we can think of any other thoughts of that in terms of not just physical consequences, but other consequences of not dealing with stress. Yeah, stomach ulcers, yeah. Yes, so very much so. Yeah, well, because someone that's thinking of committing suicide looks at it, I can't live life like this anymore. And based on the stress level, it's like, yes, you can't live that way anymore. And you would understand, okay, the answer is not to kill yourself. Live, but sometimes that doesn't, they don't see any other option, they don't see any way out. And so, yeah, well, exactly, and that's the thing, like, yeah, and that's. Like it makes me think of guys working, especially during harvest, where it's just you go, especially if there's no other stop just because of rain and things are ripening. Like you figure there's going to be an end at some point, but then especially if the machine breaks down or something like that, and that's a lot of time you're going to end up getting into accidents. Where someone's trying to fix something and not making the necessary precautions or whatever the case might be. It can be very serious in that way. Yes. Yeah, for instance, if someone's dealing with insomnia, can't sleep, they end up overdosing on sleeping pills. Someone that's, because there's different. Like, because Xanax and other things, like they're actually, in some ways, they're kind of like tranquilizers, some of these things. And they can over-tranquilize a person if either it's misprescribed or a person doesn't follow the prescription. Usually more of the second case, where a person's kind of, one, they can through the windshield before it can be crossed. That's very dangerous. We have to, anytime you're given a prescription, it's important to follow. But it's also important to ask questions too to make sure you know what the best way is to do. So, yeah. No, there can be kind of illusions that happen, and it, sometimes it could even be where it's almost like you start thinking everybody's out to get you. It's just because you're so under stress that you don't know what to do. So yeah, there's a lot of, we can think of a lot of different things where the effect that it can have on not just yourself, but people around you, when you're overloaded by stress, it can be very harmful. And so we want to be aware of that. As well, we have mental health issues too. Depression, anxiety, PTSD, different things start happening. And it's like your mind, and illusions would be part of that too, where kind of your mind is a little taxed that you just can't make sure you're kind of lost grip with kind of reality and common sense. And so we don't want to get to a point where we lose our jobs, we ruin our health, and we destroy our relationships through stress. And so we have to learn to manage and deal with the problem. So that's what we're going to be looking at the next two sessions. First one, or the next one will be specifically on managing stress, on some different thoughts that I hope will be a help on just kind of strategies that you can employ that so that you can start to put stress in its proper place, find ways to kind of deal with it. And then the last one that we'll do will be kind of on the idea of really, in some ways, changing our thinking and finding ways where we get relief from stress. It doesn't mean that we escape from stress, because we can't do that, but where we actually find a way in which we react to it in an entirely different way. And when that happens, then instead of being destroyed by the stress, it actually helps us to grow and become stronger. All right, so any thoughts? It's been a help, and we'll carry on next week.